Welcome back to ITFM Insights, the podcast where we explore all things IT financial management. I'm Kiara Zapanta, your host, and today we're kicking off a two-part episode on one of the biggest challenges in IT financial management, how to rethink IT planning for agility and uncertainty. Joining us today is Konstantin Popov, VP of Enterprise Technology Strategic Portfolio Management and Finance. We'll explore why traditional budgeting cycles often fail and what leaders can do instead of stay responsive in fast-changing environments. Konstantin, super happy to have you here today, so thanks for joining.
Thanks, Kiara. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So let's jump right into it. Could you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background and your role?
Well, absolutely. I'm currently in CPRIM. I'm responsible for enterprise operating model consulting and technology partnerships. This is a thought leadership we have developed over the course of the last 15 years, and it takes into the consideration transformative changes like modern ways of working, adoption of the cloud, digital transformation initiatives, and how all of them impacted enterprise operating model, and we helping our customers kind of make sense of this new reality and help them pivot to a more of the capacity-based, product-based operating models.
Awesome. So happy to have you on today. So now just to jump into our topic for today, let's just talk about, you know, the current state of IT budgeting. You know, what exactly is broken in the traditional cycle and how does it really like hurt decision-making?
I think the two key transformative initiatives that impacted the budgeting cycles are, again, modern ways of working and cloud adoption. Modern ways of working, it's basically when we're pivoting from a project-based to more of a product-centric approach, and we stop funding work and we are funding persistent teams. This impacts everything in finance, starting with your capital planning process, year-to-date processes, how do you capitalize labor, how do you capitalize assets, months and close. And historically, right, when we started on this journey, we've never considered the impact of adoption of Scrum and SAFe to the enterprise operating models. And then when we're looking at the adoption of cloud, we're moving away from fixed assets in a data center to more of the variable consumption in the cloud and in SaaS, which again has a profound impact on finance in terms of how much are things going to cost me. And these two things created basically an inverted relationship between labor and infrastructure, and is really having a tremendous amount of impact on finance.
Got it. Yeah, I think that makes me wonder, you know, how often do budgets, you know, actually become obsolete mid-year, and what's usually driving that? You know, is it IT or tech shifts? You did talk about moving from project to product and then also cloud, but is there anything else that you could touch on that part?
Absolutely. We see that a lot of the companies are moving away from the large monolithic budgets and are looking to reforecast and pivot based on the data that they have in their portfolio. Notice I've mentioned data, right? So now we need to ensure that we can do data-driven decisions. And they only come from a place when you can have an intersection of enterprise strategy, team level execution, enterprise architecture and finance, where you're able to map all of your direct and indirect costs to a product, make sure you understand your product strategy and your product life cycle. And based on your total cost of ownership and the performance of a product revenue, on some sort of a time sequence of data, you can start to make a decision. Am I investing into the right things? And if not, should I pivot or persevere? But again, it only can come from a data-driven approach, which implies that you have an integrated planning and execution process where you can visualize this data.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it really does seem obvious, you know, that annual plans can't keep up with like today's day and age, but I think many teams still do cling to the annual plan cycle. You know, why do some IT finance teams resist change, and even when they know that their annual or biannual planning is failing them?
Well, there are a couple of things. Number one, it's a culture of the organization, and it's a structure of the organization. We have companies are investing billions of dollars into implementations of large ERP systems over the years, and then they're you know, you can move your P&A processes on a dime, and that includes FP&A process. Specifically, if you are a large enterprise customer with a, you know, $1 billion investment into your SAP implementation. A lot of it also has to do with traditions, right? My predecessor have done it this way, his boss have done it this way. And also we have to understand that finance is responsible for things that we don't necessarily consider when we are working in technology, right? So when we're looking at the capital planning process, the finance organization need to understand, are we spending our own cash, or are we going to go and, you know, borrow money from the street because interest rates are extremely attractive. Like, we don't concern ourselves with that, but finance organization does. So I think it's partly the systems, partly the all of the internal and external regulations that they need to be in compliance for, that the system's currently built for. And I don't think we're doing a good job showing them as like, listen, we can help you pivot. There is technology out there where you can still continue to be in compliance, but it will give you that opportunity to be more nimble in your approach and align with the work that is being done in the trenches. Right. So you stop having these funnels and translators and Power BI reports to make sense of the execution data, of the actuals data, to be able to mold it into your cost center model.
Got it. Yeah. I think you made some good points about how that the reluctance to shift really ties back to like the broader mindset and like a culture shift. So I guess, like, what's the biggest misconception executives have about planning agility in itself?
Misconception about planning agility. Well, I mean, if you are coming from a place when, you know, you were responsible for capital planning process, right? And all of a sudden it's out of the window because, you know, we're going to fund capacity and, you know, that's it. That's, you know, you don't need to do anything else. You give a team some money and you figure out the that waterline and their backlog that they put in place, and you know how much work that they can do, and then you scale as needed. You either partner with your ecosystem of vendors to augment your teams, or you acquire capacity, you hire people to be able to get more work done. I think the change management here cannot be overlooked, right? It's about educating the executives. So for the finance executives, the biggest change over the last 10 years have been that they're moving away from managing cost, and the CFOs are becoming the managers, you know, they're managing value, and they're managing both customer value, expense associated with the delivery of the product or service to a customer for which they're willing to spend some money. And another one is you're managing enterprise value. How can we help put companies the best possible portfolio of investment decisions to ensure that we have the best possible return on our investment? And these are the two key outcomes within the enterprise, right? People write books about outputs and outcomes, and there are all these conversations of what is an outcome. Realistically, there are two outcomes for why companies exist: a product or a service that they provide to their customers, and how they can do it in a way that they're profitable so they can have a return, superior return to the shareholders, and they continue to invest in superior products and services.
Got it. And I think, you know, the misconception that you talked about is really compounded when, you know, teams operate in silos. And I think you sort of touched on this, but how do, you know, disconnected IT, finance, and business planning processes really create that real friction or even make bad decisions?
I think over the course of the last 15, 20 years, as we embarked on this journey of digital transformation, the way that this digital transformation was done is a lot of it were knee-jerk reactions. We're deploying agile at scale, so we need some sort of an agile work item management tool. And we go and sign up for a third-party SaaS tool. And now we want to do OKRs. And okay, we're going to go and procure a best-of-breed OKR solution. Well, now we need to capitalize labor. Oh, there is a solution for that, right? So as a result, we've invested into capabilities. And the way that we do that is we put our most experienced and senior people that we relied on for many years to get these things done. And what happens is these people bring internal bias. And internal bias has two parts. Number one, it's a culture or the organizational norms. And number two is the experience and the knowledge that these individuals have. So when you deploy these capabilities using internal bias, it usually fails. And we do see that 70% of digital transformation initiatives do fail, and they largely fail, and now there is a lot of research around it, to the fact that, you know, the way that it was done, and the companies that have succeeded, they have actually started using technology to pivot to a product capacity-based operating model and using technology strategically and optimizing the whole around outcomes rather than deploying capabilities.
Got it. And just to wrap this episode up with our last question, if traditional, you know, if a traditional way of planning isn't really working, you know, what's the biggest consequence leaders will face if they keep doing nothing about this?
It is not necessarily the question of if, it's a question of how fast. There was a survey done by the analyst of the Fortune 1000 companies. 50% of the responding CEOs have said that they are looking to embrace technology at the strategic level to pivot to capacity-based product operating models within the next 2 years. And that's one of the keys that they see to a successful transformation in order to be able to align enterprise strategy to team level execution, visualize the investment into the three key categories, which is run the business, grow the business, which is an additional investment in an existing product or a service, and transform the business, new product and services or an existing product or a new market. And then be able to make data-driven decisions around value at what cost, right? Based on my assumptions around products that I have made and where this product stands in its life cycle, am I investing in the right things? And that gives company that ability to pivot or persevere and shift resources to the products that you know, that really bring value to a consumer and to the company.
Got it. Okay, great. I think that has been a super powerful way to end this part of the episode. So today we just discussed on like what's broken in the way organizations plan today. And then in the next part, we'll continue this conversation where I'll be joined by Constantine again. We'll really flip the conversation and talk about how to actually build an agile, you know, real-time IT planning model, including, you know, the first steps leaders can take and the tools that can help. So Constantine, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you guys want to do a little bit more deeper dive into IT planning, visit the ITFM Insights page on aptio.com. That's APPTIO.com, where we posted additional resources on this topic. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.